Let's review. The previous Mishnah taught Noy Lemun B'Teich Shanasai Rishoyin L'Kaima Koshnei Masachaydish. If the Bechor got a blemish within its first year, the Bechor may be kept only until the end of the year, because the Bechor must be eaten before the end of its first year. And the Mishnah continues, La'achar Shanasai Eni Rishoyin L'Kaima Elo Lamayay. After its first year, the Bechor may only be kept until 30 days. The Gemara questions the understanding of the words La'achar Shanasai Eni Rishoyin L'Kaima Elo Lamayay. Perhaps the second clause is a continuation of the previous case, and the words la'achar shenasei add to the time one may wait to shech the becher. And the Mishnah is understood as follows. Noy le'mum b'teich shenasei, if the mum occurred within the year. Rishoy le'chaim kol yud beis chaydish, la'achar shenasei na mishleishim. Even if the mum occurred within the year, the becher may be kept until the end of the year, plus an additional 30 days. Or, the second clause is a separate case, and la'achar shenasei refers to where the mum occurred after the year. And the Mishnah is understood as follows. It depends. If the mum occurred during the year, the Bechor may be kept only until the end of the year. If the mum occurred after the end of the year, the Bechor may be kept for another 30 days. The Gemara supports the second approach from the following braisa. If the mum occurred 15 days before the end of the year, the Bechor may be kept only until 15 days after the end of the year. We see that we extend the year, likewise Shleishim Yom applies to Noy Le'achar Shanasei. And although Medereisa, the Bechor may only be kept until the end of the year, the Chum initiated that for Noy Le'achar the Bechor may be kept for 30 days to enable the Yisrael to locate a coin and give it to him. After some discussion, the Gemara concludes as follows, as per Rashi. If the mum occurred a month or more before the end of the year, he gets until the end of the year. If the mum occurred after the year, or within 30 days before the end of the year, he gets a full 30 days from the day the mum occurred. Zok the Mishnah. Hashech des ha-bachar u'mara es mumay, b'hud ha-matar, remeir oimer, hayl v'nishchat shlab pe mumcha aser. If a kain first shechted the bachar ba-mum and only then showed the mum to an expert who confirmed that it was indeed a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, b'hud holds the meat is permitted, while remeir holds the meat is forbidden. And the Gemara explains, there's no machlekes in the case of bedukin shebe'ayin, a cataract in the eye. In this case, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the meat is aser, mimnei shehein mishtanen. The eye is subject to change after death because of the animal's pain. And it's possible that only after death did the eye get the appearance of a mum kavua, but beforehand there was a mum aver, a temporary blemish, which is aser. The machlekes is only in mum shebeguf, blemishes on the body that do not change after death, such as nistika aznai, a split ear. Remeir holds gazrin mum shebeguf atu dukin shebe'ayin. The Chum imposed a knas, a penalty on mum shebeguf, out of concern that one might do this with dukin shebe'ayin. While Rabbi Yehuda holds, legazin mum shebeguf atu dukin shebe'ayin. The Chum did not impose a knas on mum shebeguf because of dukin shebe'ayin. Mishnah concludes, Mishain the mumcha v'royas b'chor b'nishchad al piv. Harezi yikav v'rishal mebeisei. If a non-expert issued a heter on a b'chor b'mum and it was shechted as per his ruling, the meat is forbidden and must be buried, and the issuer is liable to compensate the kain. And the Gemara explains, according to Behuda, this halacha applies only to Dukin Shebe'ayin, whose meat is aser, but not to Mum Shebeguf, whose meat is mutter. While according to Remeir, this halacha applies even to Mum Shebeguf, because its meat is aser. The Gemara cites a braisa. Tana keshehu mishalim, mishalim revi'i ledako u'mechts legasa. The issuer reimburses the kain 25% for a small animal, such as a sheep and goat, and 50% for a large animal, such as a calf. And as Rashi explains, mishalim mechts legasa because mamun hamut basafiku. We do not know whether the Bechor had a mum kavua, which a mumcha would have permitted, and so this non-expert caused a complete loss to the kain, or the Bechor had a mum aver, which a mumcha would not have permitted, and it may never have gotten another mum, and so this non-expert caused no loss to the kain. Therefore, we divide the disputed sum between the claimant, the kain, and the defendant, the non-expert. But even so, Misham reveal a daka, because Misham gzeiris magad lebehim a daka nakuba. It's a great ordeal for the kain to raise a small bechor, and the one who issued the heter spared the kain all this tircha, therefore he is only liable for 25%. The following two Mishnayos discuss other cases of liability for an erroneous ruling. Zok the Mishnah, Don es adin. If a judge decides a case, and zika es achayev, v'chayev es azakai, tim es atar, v'tir es atamei, he erroneously declared the defendant liable or not liable, or he erroneously declared something impure or pure, His ruling stands, and he's personally liable and must compensate the losing party because the The losing party can claim you should not have judged this case since apparently you're not an expert. However, if he was an authorized expert judge, he's exempt from payment because the above claim can obviously not be made. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah's halacha is apparently subject to the machlekes Rav Meir v'Chacham, and concurs with Rav Meir, who holds that one is liable for indirectly causing damages, as in our Mishnah, the judge is liable for indirectly causing a loss to the losing party. The Gemara answers that perhaps the Mishnah concurs even with the Chacham, who hold deloy doin din degami. One is not liable for indirectly causing damages. However, the Mishnah refers to where kagon shenasa benasin biyad. The judge took the money or item from the losing party and gave it to the winning party. In this case, the judge was a mazik biyadayim. He caused the hezik directly, not garmi indirectly. The Mishnah now relates an incident with a dayin mumcha. Zok the Mishnah, umaisa beparish nitlo ha'em shala, v'chili reb tarfon leklavim. There was an incident of a cow whose womb was removed, and reb tarfon ruled the cow treifa and fed it to the dogs. The Chum later ruled that the cow was not treifa and permitted, because Toidus HaRefis said, "Ein para b'chazira yitzim Alexandria shal Mitzrayim, she'en chayt k'n ha'em shala b'shvol shalei teilet." In the city of Alexandria, they raised superior cows and swine. In order to maintain their market on these animals, they would remove the womb and selling them to other lands to prevent them from reproducing there. And so we see that the animals remained alive. Apparently, this defect is not a treifa. Upon hearing this, Reb Tarfon exclaimed, "Hal chal chamorcher Tarfon, my donkey is gone." As a way of saying, I will need to reimburse the owner of the cow. Upon which Rabbi Kiva said to him, "Reb Tarfon ata mumcha lebezen, v'chal mumcha lebezen patim alashalom. You're an authorized expert judge who is exempt from payment." And the Gemara adds another reason why Reb Tarfon was patim alashalom, because the Tov Edvar Mishnah, since he made an error in a clear-cut ruling of a Mishnah, his ruling is reversible.